John chapter 1 is our memory verse. We'll turn there together. Once you find it, if you'll stand together. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to memorize verses 9 and 10. We'll say them together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John 1, 9 and 10. Let's say it again, please. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity and privilege it is to be in Your house this morning. As we are called the body of Christ as the church, dear Lord, I pray that You would allow the Holy Spirit to be here among us this morning, to move among us, to illuminate the Scriptures, dear Lord, to speak through me. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would all leave here knowing some new truth, dear Lord, that might help us in our Christian walk. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would bless these people that have been here today and are going to waiting, anticipating from the Word of God, that You would not disappoint them, Lord, but You would give them exactly what they need, and that we would be receptive hearers, dear Lord, waiting on You. Thank You for all that You do for us. Guide and direct now in these services, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now turn over to your Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be there in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. As we've examined in the past weeks, as we continue this series of studies on Greek words every Christian should know. And again, we're not trying to change the Bible here. We're not trying to make everyone here a Bible student in the Greek language. We're just trying to illuminate and help with the understanding of Scripture to understand what was in the original writings that was hard to translate into English. And we've seen in the past weeks a number of words. The word tetelestai, which means it is finished, is what Christ said on the cross, the sixth saying. And He said, it is finished, but it actually means it has been paid in full. There is nothing that can be done to complete the work any further. It has been completed. It has been paid in full. The work of Christ, the will of God, has been completed. So that ends salvation. We can't do anything. We can't add to salvation. Christ did it all. And then we came to the word sozo, which means to be redeemed, but it's also to be made whole. So when we ask Christ to be our Savior, He makes us whole. He redeems us. Then we came to the word baptizo, which means to be baptized. And we talked about the waters of baptism. And we talked about how to be baptized, about the mode of baptism, about immersion. And what all that meant is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't do anything to add to our salvation because we've already learned about tetelestai and sozo. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the word peripateo. And peripateo means, it talks about our walk. And how we are to be walking for God and making use of every opportunity God gives us. And so have we made this natural progression through the believer's birth, through their walk. We didn't start off this study as a similarity to a new converts class, but that's almost what it's become. And I'm just going to follow the Lord how He leads. And today we come to the word oxano. And it is basically helping us understand our next progression in our step as a Christian. It's only used 22 times in the Bible. It's defined as to grow or to increase. Growing of that which is alive. And it's implications and applications in the Scripture is a natural growth as well as a spiritual growth. Oxano. Some examples of the word oxano in the Scriptures is their physical growth, to grow or become larger or taller, to increase. For example, hold your place in Ephesians and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the physical growth definition of the word oxano is shown here in Matthew 6, 8. It says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not. neither do they spin. The lilies grow. It's a physical growth, a natural growth. That is a definition of the word oxano. Again, in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 31 through 32, we see another example of this physical growth. In Matthew 13, verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." So we've seen the growth of a lily, the growth of a mustard seed. Those are natural growth, physical growth. That is a type of definition of the word oxano. Then it can also mean to the growing of a child. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, the Word of God says, "And the child grew," of course it's talking about the Holy Spirit here, I'm sorry, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, and it says in chapter 1 and verse 80, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." The child grew. Physical growth, oxano. And again in chapter 2 and verse 40, the Word of God says of Luke, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Physical growth, oxano. That's not all it means, though. It's also a numerical growth, a prominence growth. In Acts chapter 6, I'm going to read these for you for sake of time. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "And the Word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The Word of God increased. That's oxano. It's a numerical growth, a prominence growth, a flourishing. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, "The Word of God grew and multiplied." An acceptance. The Word of God grew. "So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed." In Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, "The Word of God grew in prominence." And then in Acts chapter 7, look with there in Acts chapter 7. I'm hastening through these because I want to get to the latter meaning of this word. Acts chapter 7 and verse 17, the Word of God says, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." Their numbers grew. A numerical growth is another definition of the word oxano. But I want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 4 and the part of the definition of the word oxano of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. It means to grow or increase in the spiritual maturity. A great definition and practical understanding of the spiritual growth meaning of oxano. I love this meaning. It's so clear to me in my mind. As a tree grows internally, you can cut a tree and you can look at the rings and you can see how it's grown every year. As a tree grows internally, little by little, the growth is evident outwardly, finally. As a Christian grows internally, little by little, that growth is evident outwardly. That's what oxano means, to mature as a Christian spiritually. Examples from the Word of God, again in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 10:15, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we should be enlarged by you according to our rule." Colossians 1:10, we looked at 2 weeks ago, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Increasing in the knowledge of God. That word increasing is oxano. One verse that we're all familiar with is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Grow. Oxano. Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, look at this, may grow up into Him. May grow up into Christ. That's oxano. He wants us to grow up into Him. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Look back with me in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature as Christians. He wants us to oxano, spiritually grow as Christians. From this text here, just in Ephesians 11 through 16, we can see from this there is a call to maturity. We can see the importance of maturity, and we can see how the way to maturity. The idea of maturity or growing is found in every verse from verses 12 through 16. In verse 13, it says the goal of our service is what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Mature person is what that means. We can't be perfect in this world. We know that. We carry around this flesh with us. And it doesn't just mean man. It means mankind. So it's talking about spiritually mature people. The goal here is the building up of Christ's body into a mature body of believers. In verse 14, believers are called to quit acting like children. Look with me. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, stop acting like children and grow up. In verse 15, believers are to speak the truth in love, so they may grow up into Him in all things. I love that saying. They may grow up into Him. The key to spiritual growth for the believer is the Lord expects that when we are born by the Spirit of God into the family of God, we begin this process of growth and development toward a certain completeness and maturity. Now, we're not going to be complete in this earth. We're not going to be completely mature in this earth. We're not going to continue our growth to oxano to a place that we level out and say, we're done. We're not going to do that till we get home to heaven. We can't be that perfect man, but we can go towards that goal. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. A goal towards maturity is to be on that progressive goal to get to that place where we're maturing to the place where we should be in our Christian lives. And 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow, but oxano, if we looked at familiar portions of Scripture in the New Testament that we are so familiar with and have memorized probably in our Christian life, you would be astounded. Of the 22 times this word is used in the New Testament, it's there in those verses. Grow in Christ. Grow in your faith. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow. We are the bride of Christ, are we not? Should not Christ expect His bride to be mature? Shouldn't He? Does He want to marry a baby? He wants to marry a mature Christian, or at least someone growing towards a mature Christian. What is the reality in our churches today? What is the reality? We are not all what we should be. We are not all, we have not all arrived. If you think you have arrived, you need to check yourself. We are not all what we should be. We have all not matured and grown spiritually as we should have. Rather than a mature and beautiful bride of Christ, sometimes the church seems like a bratty little, snotty-nosed little boy or girl. We're petty, willfully ignorant. I didn't say you were ignorant, you're willfully ignorant. And I am willfully ignorant. We're petty in our disputes. We personify a me-first attitude. Boy, does that sum up where we live today. A me-first attitude, and it's not just the world, it's Christians too. It's me-first attitude, and that's what we're personifying. We have temper tantrums over some of the silliest things in our churches today. I'm not going to talk to Mr. So-and-so because he said something about my garden. Come on, get over that. He wants us, Christ wants us to be spiritually mature Christians. He wants us to oxano in our Christian lives, spiritually grow in our spiritual lives. I'm afraid our churches today and our attitudes and our behaviors is an embarrassment to Christ. People look at us, oh, you're a Christian, and you're over here fighting with your neighbor because you cut down a limb in my yard, and that was my tree. And you cut down it, and that was my tree, and it's in my yard, but you cut it down. I'm not going to speak to you again, and they're over there supposed to be Christians, and some other neighbor's not a Christian, and he's watching that. It's an embarrassment to Christ. We're petty, willfully ignorant about the Word of God. Don't misunderstand me, though. Little children are wonderful. They're cute. Little babies are truly adorable sometimes when they're not crying. But when they stay little babies too long, they're not so cute. Babies that don't grow lose their cuteness and sometimes become a concern. You see, it's okay to act like a baby for a while as a new Christian. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. Listen, it's time for the body of believers in the world today to grow up. There is a world of 7 billion people out there that need to know about the Savior that we love and serve. And we have become so complacent in our pews. Oh, the air conditioning wasn't perfect today. The preacher preached a little bit long today. I'm going to miss that lunch line. I'm going to be back further in that line today. The specials are all going to be gone today. Pastor preached out of some book I've never even heard of in the Bible. I couldn't find it. We are petty in our attitudes about Christianity today. As Brother Billy said this morning, we need to think on Christ and what He did for us. We need to see these empty pews as places where lost people can sit. And what are we doing to bring them in with us to the churches? How many empty seats did we have in our car today? Can we use them for Christ? How many empty seats on the buses today did we have? Those workers on the bus ministry, I love them and I appreciate the hard work they do, but they need help. We have a bus up here that's been sitting there. We need a bus captain. We need bus workers. It's not hard to go knock on doors and invite boys and girls to church. Mamas and daddies, you don't have to use your gas. We'll bring you to church. I'm talking to myself. It's time for the body of believers today to grow up. Put aside our pettiness. Put aside our attitudes of me. It's time to act like Christian men and women. The Bible does instruct us to have a Christ-like faith or a childlike faith, but it's different than a childish faith. Totally different. There is a call here to maturity in the book of Ephesians. The first thing we can encounter here in this text is a call to maturity. Look back with me in Ephesians chapter 4. A growth in Christ-likeness as we gain the mind of Christ. He gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. He gave us those men to help us progress towards a maturity for the work of the ministry. Once you are trained and taught, you are to find a place of service. I have a dear pastor from my earlier days in the ministry. And he said when he got saved, he went to his pastor and says, "I want to preach." "Well, son, you're not quite ready to preach." "Well, I want to be a deacon." "Well, son, you're not quite ready to be a deacon." He was ready to serve. "I want to teach a Sunday school class." "Well, son, you're really not quite ready to teach a Sunday school class." "I want to do something for Jesus." He said, "Well, you can come early and make sure the lights are all on." "I'll do it." He came and made sure every light in the church was on. That was his service to Christ. And he says, "Pastor, I do this every week. Turn the lights on. What else can I do?" "Well, you can make sure every bathroom stall has toilet paper." That's service, is it not? Can we all do those things? He told him, "You can go now after months of services. Now I want you to do another thing. I want to take you another step further to following Christ." He said, "Okay, Pastor, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to take a paper towel every time you go into the bathroom, and I want you to wipe the sinks down. Make sure it's dry and clean for the next person that comes behind you." "I'll do it, Pastor." And that's what he did. That's how he served God. And then he got a bus route. And then he was a Sunday school teacher. And then he was a deacon in the church. And then he was a treasurer in the church. And then he was a pastor of one of the largest churches in our country today. But that's how he started serving God. Faithfulness. Maturity. He started as a baby, and he started growing and maturing for the Lord. The call to maturity. The importance of maturity. Second, we see in the importance of maturity here in this portion of Scripture. To make a difference, you must grow up, and the sooner you do, the greater your service will be for the Lord. It's easy to remain a child, but it's selfish. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers back in the days of London of the 1800s, was a mighty man for God. But you know, he didn't get saved till he was 16 years old. 16. At 18, 2 years after he was saved, at 18, he was pastoring his first church. By the time he was 20, he was pastoring one of the largest congregations in all of London, and people were stand outside the doors trying to get in and could not. He would rent some of the largest halls in London at that time. 20,000 plus people would come to hear him preach the Word of God as a 20-year-old. Could he have done that as a baby in Christ? He matured rapidly for Christ. He oxonoed for Christ and went through spiritual maturity for Christ that he might be used for the Lord. Growing children of God is what our churches need today. Not wishy-washy, unstable people, but mature contributors to the growth of the body of believers in our local assemblies. Maturity enables us to reproduce. Now, I can take someone out that's a babe in Christ and take them out soul winning and help them lead someone to the Lord. But as a more spiritually mature person, you're able to go out and reproduce. You could go out and win somebody, Lord, because you know the Scriptures. You know the Romans Road, or you know the John Road, or you know Isaiah. You know where to go in the Scriptures. But all Christians can go and talk to somebody about their testimony. This is how I got saved. And you know what? You're growing at that point. Maturity enables believers to distinguish the importance from the trivial. I don't need to get mixed up in this. This is more important. I have a series of messages that I preach from a book of the Bible that says, majoring on the majors and leaving the minors alone. Let's major on the major issues and let's leave those little things alone. The trivial things that believers don't need to get sucked into. Maturity enables believers to discern truth from error. I was talking to somebody out in the hall just last week, I believe. And I was telling them a story of another pastor that I've had. God has put some great, mighty men in my life that have influenced me to help me to grow and mature in the Lord. And he told me he had a friend, it was a college professor, and he said he told me he had a friend that worked for the Secret Service in the Treasury Department. And he said, you know, the way to understand error is to study the truth.
That's right. Amen.
That's who he was. He was a cults teacher in my college days. He was teaching us about cults. And he says, I'm not going to teach you all the ins and outs and where's and why's of the cults. I'm going to teach you about the Word of God and where they're wrong. I'm going to teach you the truth. And he says, that Secret Service agent told me a lesson. And it's now been a principle to me in my life. If I want to understand the errors in all the other translations and paraphrases and revisions of the Word of God, I don't need to study them. I need to study the true Word of God. And so its Secret Service agent says, you know how we determine a counterfeit $100 bill? We don't study all the different traits and tricks of those crooks. We study the true $100 bill. We study that $100 bill, and we study that $100 bill. We know the ins and the outs, backwards and forwards, sideways. We know that $100 bill. And when we see something that's not true, we know it. If we would study this book, I guarantee it, you would know when somebody's quoting not the Word of God. My son is almost 25 years old, and he's not faithful to church like he should be, but as a child he was, and he can hear something about the Word of God being said or spoken, he says, that's not the King James. Praise the Lord. He knows the Word of God, and he knows when somebody's speaking the wrong book. The importance of maturity so that we can know and discern between truth and error. The key to maturity, what is the key that opens the door of this treasure of maturity? It's one word in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Truth is the key. To mature, we must know the truth. To mature, we must study the truth. To mature, we must live in the truth. Ephesians 4:14 says, be no more children. So what are we supposed to do? Verse 15 says, we are to speak the truth. Verse 13 says, we need to lay hold of the knowledge of the Son of God. Where do we have the knowledge of the Son of God at? In the Word of God. What does John 17 say? 17:17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The Word of God is the God-appointed instrument for spiritual growth and maturity. We must be in it. We must be reading it. When we hear something from this pulpit preached, we must make it a part of our lives. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You can grow by feeding on the Word. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I didn't think I'd have time to share this. Hebrews chapter 5, look with me in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's a powerful verse. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But something that's interesting, it says in verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You've already heard it once. So the principle is here that if you have heard the Word of God, you should be able to discern between good and evil, and you should be at a place of maturing, you should be at a place of spiritual growth or of exano, and now you should be teachers of what you have heard. But it says, you have need to be taught again. You have not matured. You are a babe, as it says in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled. You don't know how to use it. You're not a skilled person in the Word. You're unskilled in the Word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, I want to eat on that strong meat of the Word. I love the book of John, but that's where we send new believers to read the Word of God and gain some understanding of the Word of God. I want to dig into those books, Hebrews, for example, and get into that meat and really figure out what it means. We're spiritual babies because we failed to eat and feed on the truth. That's what this portion of Scripture is teaching us. Some of us are on a milk diet. Unfortunately, maybe you're just a baby in Christ. Maybe you've just accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, you should be on a milk diet. But if you've been saved for 20-some years, you don't need to be on a milk diet anymore. Some of us are on a milk diet. Others have progressed to the strained vegetable stage. You know them strained peas? I hated those things. They stunk when you opened the can. But I tell you, those desserts were pretty good. Unfortunately, our son didn't get to taste many of those because we'd eat them before you give the spoon. You try to get the choo-choo in the tunnel and it comes into your tunnel before it goes in his. But you go from the milk stage to that strained vegetable stage. You're still having to be fed. Milk stage, you're being fed. Strained vegetable stage, you're still being fed. Someone's having to take care of you and feed you. You know what, though? The next stage, you're progressing. You go to that happy meal stage. And you're able to do those finger foods and pick them up, those chicken nuggets and those fries. And you're able to handle that food a little bit and chew it up. And your mom and dad are like, make sure you chew it. But you're progressing. And then a smart thing marketers did was come out with the next stage meal. You know, the big kids meal. I didn't have that when my kids were little. But the big kids meal is a little next step. And it's a little bit bigger of a meal, and it's more finger foods and able to handle a cup and a straw and be able to things. Now, some of us are in that milk stage. Some of us are in the strained vegetable stage. Some of us are in a happy meal stage. Some of us are in the big kids meal. But then there are those that are off ordering off the main menu. I don't want the McDonald's. Don't get me wrong here. I want a steak that I got to cut into. I want to dig into that baked potato. I'm getting hungry now. I want to be able to get something, some meat, strong meat as it said in Hebrews, to feed on the Word of God, to make it part of my life so I can oxano for Christ. Where are you at in this group of growth? Are you progressing? Are you staying steady? Or are you falling back, as it says in Hebrews, and somebody's going to have to teach you again and feed you again? We are to mature for Christ. We are to be spiritually strong Christians, working towards that perfect man, that mature person for Christ. That's what we're supposed to be working towards. We get strong meat from the Word, from the pulpit here in this church. Much study goes into that meat to make it digestible for all the growth that's in our church. You take from that message that our pastor preaches what portion you need. Don't take the milk portion if you're in the meat stage portion. If he makes a reference to a portion of Scripture and you don't understand it or haven't read it recently, go dig it up and read it and understand it. God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow for Him. He wants us to oxano, mature for Him. Lord, we thank You so much for the time that we have had on this study. It is a blessing to my own heart. It's making me strong in the Word and digging harder into the meat of the Word of God. These aren't lessons you can just pick out of the air, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, for the time and the ability to be able to dig. Thank You for the desire to dig. And I pray, dear Lord, that that was the heart desire of every Christian here today. The desire to feed on the Word of God and to dig deep. If we have any new believers here, I pray they're progressing from the milk stage to the next stages so they can move towards serving You fully. But Lord, if we have Christians here today that have been served for numbers and numbers of years and are still in the early stages of their infancy of Christ, allow them to understand the need to get in the Word and to feed on the Word of God. For it's throughout the 22 times this word is used is to grow and to mature that we might be useful. Help us to be useful in Your kingdom. Bless our pastor in the next hour, Lord. Speak to his heart. Speak through him, dear Lord, with the power of God that he might give us what exactly we need. And then allow the Holy Spirit to use that to apply it to our hearts and lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask this.